To the book of Proverbs, number 8. Proverbs, number 8. We'll begin there this evening. You can find that place in your Bible, and you can read along with me as I read Proverbs, number 8, beginning at verse 32 through verse 35. The Bible says, "Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you tonight as we come together in this place that you've so kindly and graciously and generously provided for us. We thank you, Lord, for loving us the way you do, as unlovely as we are. And we thank you for providing for us as undeserving as we are. But yet we are rejoicing to be called your children and to know Christ as our Savior and heaven as our home. And I pray tonight, my Father, as we look into the Word of God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person in this place. Everyone watching and listening, wherever they might be, open their hearts to the Word of God that it might do its work, it might encourage us, it might challenge us, it might change us. I pray, Father, it would convict us and comfort us. Whatever our need, may you meet it in some way tonight. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In penning these Proverbs, the writer presents wisdom as a person. And indeed, we know that person to be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in Colossians chapter 2 and keep your place where we are. But if you would turn to Colossians chapter 2, let's read some verses there. Well, this is our third message in our series on the Beatitudes. And we haven't gotten to the Sermon on the Mount yet, and probably won't for a few weeks. There are Beatitudes all through the Bible. There's Beatitudes in the Old Testament and Beatitudes in the New Testament. And tonight we're looking at a Beatitude in Proverbs. But I want you to see Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, where the Bible says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledging of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And so Jesus Christ in him has hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's no wisdom, there's no knowledge that does not reside and find itself in Christ. Throughout the Proverbs, wisdom cries out to the reader to hearken and to appropriate its teachings. In Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And so if we're going to have true wisdom, we need to begin with the fear of God. And in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, as a beatitude, it promises blessedness or happiness to the one who is concerned with gaining the wisdom of God. And where is the wisdom of God found? Do we find the wisdom of God in our universities? Do we find the wisdom of God in our governmental institutions? Do we find the wisdom of God in our libraries, in our civic forums? No, we find the wisdom of God in the Word of God. There is this wisdom that is of this world, and there is the wisdom that is from heaven, according to James chapter 13, verses 14 through 18. Therefore, the wise person and the happy Christian will be he or she who is of the book. Now, I've found two other Beatitudes concerning the Word of God, and they present three actions required regarding the Word of God for the Christian to be the happiest. I believe there are Christians who are happy. I believe there are Christians who are happier. And there are some Christians that you find they're just the happiest. And I hope tonight as we look at this simple lesson that it'll help you graduate from one to the other. I want you to turn with me, and still I want you to keep your place in Proverbs chapter 8. We may come back to that, but let's go to Revelation chapter 1. We're looking at Beatitudes, where it says, blessed is the man. Revelation chapter 1. And look at verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, we find the penman quoting wisdom as saying, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And here we find in Proverbs chapter 8 a reference, I believe, to the reading of the Word. The first point tonight is the happy reader. The blessing that comes from reading the Word of God. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. It's a picture of a house in which lives wisdom. And the wise individual, the man who is blessed, is the one who stands outside wisdom's house and waits for wisdom to come out of the door and waits for wisdom to come through the gate so they can meet wisdom and commune with wisdom. The written word of God is the wisdom of God, and blessed is he who what? Daily waits and watches for wisdom at the gates and posts of the word of God. You see, this is the Bible, and if we're smart, we'll be daily waiting at the gates and waiting at the door for the wisdom that comes forth as we open the Word of God. Paul the Apostle encouraged the early churches to pass around the epistles to be read. Colossians 4:16, and when this epistle was read among you, cause that it be read also unto the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. They didn't have the wonderful privilege we have today of having the Word of God completed, to having the Word of God in a volume where we can have Genesis to Revelation and we can carry it with us. We have the complete Word of God. They had pieces of the Word of God. And he said, so you Colossians, there's a letter over there in Laodicea. I want you to get it and read it. And I want you to send this letter over to them so they can read it. You see the importance on reading the Word of God? We find the phrase, read in the book, or read the words of the book, or something similar concerning the Word of God at least 38 times in the Bible. We find the reading of the Word of God from Moses reading it in Exodus chapter 24 to the Lord Jesus reading it in Revelation chapter 5. There is a promise of happiness for reading the Word of God. Why? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look with me at verse 15 through 17. Very familiar passage. Paul writing to Timothy and says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation through faith, that is, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want you to understand that the Word of God is always profitable. Wherever you pick it up and read anywhere in it, it's profitable. Sometimes we read through the Word of God and we get to places where there's lists of names and lists of this and that and all the sacrifices and all the tabernacle things, and we're looking at that and we're saying, oh man, it's profitable to read that. God wrote it and preserved it. It's profitable for us to read it. If you don't get anything more than this, your soul is fed when you read the Word of God. It's profitable. But he gives some specific things. He says here, it's able to make us wise. Another thing it says, it keeps us straight on our doctrine. It also convicts us of sin. And it corrects us when we have the wrong ideas. It corrects us when we have the wrong attitudes. It instructs us in the way of righteousness. How would we ever know what righteousness was without the Word of God? Our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. As human beings, as sinful creatures, we don't have a clue of what genuine righteousness is, and we have no righteousness of our own. Praise God for the Word of God that teaches us, instructs us in the way of righteousness. It outfits us for every good work that God has for us to do. My dear Christian friend, you'll never be able to do the work God has for you to do if you're not in this book. This is what furnishes you. This is what equips you. This is what outfits you to be able to teach a Sunday school class, to be able, listen, to drive a van or a bus, or to work in the radio room, or the sound room, or the live stream room, or to clean the floors, or anything you do for God. Because you can get bad attitudes, can't you? Even serving the Lord, you can get bad attitudes, right? Yeah. In the book of Revelation, there's a special and specific promise of blessing or happiness to those who just read it. Things written therein educate the believer about the last days and the coming of the Lord Jesus and the eternal state. That's a blessing. Only born-again people know where they came from, why they're here, and where they're going. Where do you find that? In the Word of God. Such knowledge makes the believer happy and blessed indeed. Let me read this to you. It's a study that has been done. It says Bible readers, listen to this, Bible readers, now this will show you, Bible readers are happier people. The more people read their Bible, the happier they probably are, according to a recent Tyndale House survey. Nearly 90% of frequent Bible readers say that they feel at peace all or most of the time, compared to only 58% of people who read the Bible less than once a month. The study also revealed that 92% of frequent Bible readers report knowing a clear purpose and meaning in life, compared to 69% of infrequent readers. 81% of frequent readers say they feel content most or all the time, compared to only 67% of infrequent readers. 64% of frequent readers say they feel joy all or most of the time versus only 35% of infrequent readers. So if you're an infrequent reader, try to say that 20 times fast. If you're only an infrequent reader of the Word of God, you're only happy 35% of the time. You spend two-thirds of your life unhappy. But if you're a frequent Bible reader, you've got 64%. That's two-thirds of your life you're happy. And if you get more frequent, you'll raise that up. And so the first thing we have to understand, if we want to be happy, we've got to be a happy reader. Amen? You'll be happy if you read the Bible. Number two, go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 again. We'll finish that verse. Point number two, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed is the man that readeth. Praise the Lord. But then what does it say? And they that hear the words of the prophecy of this book, the happy hearer. You see, there's the happy reader, and then there's the happy hearer. You'll notice that the blessing of Revelation 1:3 is not just upon the reading, but also upon the hearing of the Word of God. Proverbs 7:24, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth." Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Did you hear how a hearing was connected to those things? There is the hearing of the word that brings a blessing. Hearing the word of God read and hearing the word of God preached. Have you ever noticed that when you come to church and you sit, and whoever it is that might read the passage, did you ever notice you see things in that passage you didn't see when you just read it yourself? You know, studies have proven that you retain more of what you see and hear more than if you just see it. So it's like doubling down, if you can put it that way. And so here we find the person who reads the Word of God's blessed and the person who hears the Word of God. Romans 10:14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" We find this principle in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. You know what it says there? "So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." You know what that is? That's preaching. That was a man standing up, reading the passage, preaching the passage, so that the people could what? Hear the passage. They gave the sense. That is the Hebrew word Shekel. It means knowledge, wisdom, intellectual success. And so the preacher was reading the word and then would enable the hearer to have intellectual success with what they just heard from the Word of God. That phrase, that word understand, is the Hebrew word bene. It means discernment, perception, direction. So when you hear the Word of God preached, it gives you perception, it gives you discernment, it gives you direction. That's the preacher's job. That's the preacher's gift. To make the congregation understand and to make sense of the Scripture. You'll also notice in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 4, that they built a pulpit for just that purpose of preaching. "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose." There was going to be some preaching going on, so they elevated a place. You'll find out that he was above the people. So they elevated a place. And then they built a pulpit out of wood, so that Ezra could stand at the pulpit and read the Word of God and preach the Word of God, make the sense of it, give the understanding to the people as they listened and heard. You see, the hearing of the Word of God brings a blessing. There's something spiritual and something supernatural about the preaching of the Word of God. Now, if you come to church and you sit there and you don't get nothing special, you don't get nothing supernatural, you don't get nothing spiritual, you're the problem, not the preaching of the Word of God. It's not the personality of the preacher. It's not the methodology of the preacher. It's not the volume of the preacher. It's not the theatrics of the preacher. It's the preaching of the Word of God. And if we're sensitive and filled with the Spirit, it will be spiritual. It will be supernatural. There's something the preaching does that nothing else will do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." 1 Corinthians 1:21, "And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." David preached Psalm 40, verse 9. Ezra preached Nehemiah 8:8. Jonah preached 3:2. John the Baptist preached in Matthew 3:1. The disciples preached in Luke 9:6. The men of Cyprus preached in Acts 11:20. Philip preached in Acts 8:12. Stephen preached in Acts 11:19. Paul preached in Acts 20, verse 9. Timothy preached in 2 Timothy 4:2. Peter preached in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. And Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. That's a whole lot of preaching and a whole lot of hearing of the Word of God. Why? Because blessed is the man that heareth. That's why. What did Proverbs 8:33 say? It said, "Hear instruction." Revelation 1:3 says that the blessed or happy man is he who reads the Word of God and hears the Word of God. And yet there's another level. People, here's another study that was done. People who are active members of a religious community are more likely than those who don't have strong religious ties to describe themselves as very happy. A new Pew Research Center study has found, after analyzing data from 20 countries, Pew researchers concluded that people who regularly participate in religious congregations tend to be happier and more civically engaged than their peers who are infrequent attendees or who don't identify with religion at all. That's why the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As Christians, we have a unique opportunity to gather around the written, inspired, preserved Word of God and allow it to influence our lives to make us happy and blessed. Just like the more you read the Bible, the happier you are. The more you hear the Bible, the happier you are. The more you come to church, the happier you're going to be. But there's yet another level. And we find that in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Revelation chapter 16. So blessed, we have the blessed reader, and then we have the blessed hearer, and now we have the blessed keeper. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." You see the word keepeth? Keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and be ashamed. He's talking about Christians who are wearing the new man. That's how I look at it. Or you keep, what's the Bible say? Put off the old man and what? Put on the new man. Putting on the new man is part of walking in the Spirit and your life being lived in the Spirit, and you're clothed with the practical righteousness just as you're clothed in heaven with the imputed righteousness. I believe that there are Christians who have one level of happiness because they read the Bible. Then there are Christians who have another level of happiness because they regularly hear the Word of God. And then there are Christians who move up to a still higher plane of happiness because they are keepers and doers of the Word of God. You follow me? All right, I'm reading my Bible. I'm happy. I'm reading my Bible regularly, and I'm hearing the Word of God preached regularly. I'm happier. But now I'm reading the Bible regularly. I'm happy. I'm reading the Bible and hearing the Word of God preached regularly. I'm happier. Now I'm doing what I heard and what I read, which makes me the happiest of all. Proverb number 4, verse 4, He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. There's the word keep again. Keep those commandments. Proverb 5, 7, Hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Depart not. Keep my words. The Holy Spirit confirms this in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Look what he says. Behold, I come quickly. Here's the beatitude. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That word keepeth in the Greek is tereo. It means to observe. So the Lord's saying, you want to be blessed? Observe the things that are written in this book. The word keep in Proverbs 4:4 is the word shamar. You know what it means? To observe. So the Old Testament says, Blessed is the man, happy is the man who observes my word, who keeps my word. What's the New Testament say? Blessed is the man that observes my word, that keeps my word. There's a special blessing that comes to us. The Bible calls it the favor of the Lord. There is a favor, there is a blessing, there is a happiness, there is a blessedness that comes to those who are doers of the Word of God. James put it this way, But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, what? Deceiving your own selves. Then he goes on to say, But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, This man shall be blessed in his deeds. You want your deeds blessed? Be a doer of the word. You know why your deeds are blessed when you're a doer of the word? Because your deeds are in accordance with the word. You understand? When you're a doer of the word, your deeds are blessed because they're in a line with the Word of God and the teachings of the Scripture. It's like a three-piece suit. All right, now, the trousers will be the reading. See? Aren't you glad I have trousers on? Amen? Yeah, all right. So that's like the basic, you know. That's the reading. I could have a shirt and a tie and just trousers. That's the reading. Now, the vest is the hearing, see? But now, look at this. If I go like this and put the jacket on, now I've got the reading. I've got the hearing, and I've got the doing. How's that look? Huh? All right, you see? That's a complete package, isn't it? Reading, hearing, and keeping. When all three are present and regular in the life of a Christian, he or she will be their happiest. And you might be sitting there and saying, I don't think that works for me. Then you're not reading every day, every day. And you're not coming to every service. And you're not doing everything God wants you to do. And you're doing stuff God doesn't want you to do. That's why you're not happy. But if you'll read and you'll hear and you'll do, you'll be happy. You can't help it. The Spirit of God in you will rejoice in you. He will produce His fruit of joy in you when you're reading, hearing, and doing. And you can rejoice like Paul in the midst of trouble, even in jail. I think we can make an application, if you will, of Romans 12:2. And the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let me just say that. Let's not be conformed to this world. What is the world? We don't want to be conformed to their idea of joy and happiness. Because they never find joy or happiness. That's why millionaires are never happy in the world. And movie stars and rock and roll stars. And all these people that are put up by the world as success, that's why they're taking drugs. That's why they're dying. That's why they're unhappy. That's why they have to have every part of their body surgically reconstructed. Why? Because they're not happy. Don't be conformed to this world, because as a Christian, if you're trying to conform to this world, you're going to only get the happiness they have, and that all depends on circumstances, situations. But the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. So it's only the renewed mind that can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the more conformed to this world, the less you will read the Bible. And the less you will want to hear the Bible. And certainly the less you will do the Bible. And when we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, and what renews our mind? What renews our way of thinking? The Word of God, doesn't it? Look, when I was lost, I thought differently than I think now. What happened? I got saved. I started reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, my mind started getting renewed. God started rearranging things in my thought processes. He started rearranging things in my likes and dislikes and my wants. He renewed that mind. Now listen, reading it and hearing it challenges the wisdom and ways of the world. Reading it and hearing it changes our thinking and our attitudes and our actions. Reading and hearing it convicts us of our sin and brings us to repentance. So let me make this application. Reading is the goodwill of God. Reading and hearing is the acceptable will of God. And reading, hearing, and keeping is the perfect will of God. David found this to be true. Psalm 119, verse 11, he wrote, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." He read it. He heard it. By the grace of God, he did everything he could to do it. I believe we can apply some wisdom of Solomon when he penned Ecclesiastes 4:12. He said this concerning reading, hearing, and keeping. He said this: a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I'm going to tell you something. A Christian who reads the Bible every day, a Christian that comes to church as much as humanly possible, and a Christian who is making every endeavor by the Spirit of God to be a doer of the Word of God, that Christian is going to be strong. And the world won't break that Christian. And the world won't tear down that Christian. Why? They're getting too much input. You see, there's too much of that supernatural, spiritual stuff coming in from all three, from the hearing, from the reading, and from the doing. Here's a question. Are Christians happier than non-Christians? And the poll said yes. 67% of people believe that Christians are happier than non-Christians. And why not? We're born again. Why not? Our sins are forgiven. Why not? We're going to heaven when we die. Why not? He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why not? We can cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Why not? He'll supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why shouldn't we be the happiest people in the world? I propose that the happiest Christians of all are those who walk with God with a pure conscience because they read the word, they hear the word, and they're keepers or doers of the word. Want to be happy? There you go. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And as we think about these Beatitudes we heard tonight, which are normally not thought of as Beatitudes, let me ask you, dear Christian, where are you with the Word of God? Are you a regular reader? Are you a daily reader? Or do you end up getting at the end of your day and finding, I just didn't have time? If I were you, I wouldn't drop into bed without reading some scripture. Maybe tonight you need to just determine you're going to read the Bible every day. Let me ask you this. Where are you with church attendance? I know you're here, it's Wednesday night, but are you a regular hearer? Do you come as often as you possibly can, or only when it's convenient? Let me ask you, are you a practicing Christian? I didn't ask you if you are a Christian. I said, are you a practicing Christian? Are you a keeper of the Word of God? You lack happiness, a happiness that's not dependent on circumstances. It might be that you lack one of these three. And then I want to ask those of you that might be here this evening, or maybe you're watching or listening and you've never been born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want you to understand the Word of God is the vehicle through which the Lord brings conviction of sin and the comfort of salvation. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus did everything necessary for you to have your sins forgiven, your soul saved, and to become a child of God, and to have heaven as your home. He doesn't ask you to do anything. He doesn't ask you to promise anything. He just wants you to believe him and receive him as your Savior wherever you are, right now. If you're in this building, maybe you need to receive Christ as your Savior. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Maybe tonight you'd like to be born of God and receive the gift of eternal life by trusting Christ as your Savior. If that's your desire, you can do it right where you sit. I want you to look up at me. If that's your desire tonight, you say, preacher, I'm not saved, and I know it, but, oh, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to go to heaven. Anybody like that here tonight? If you're watching or listening, you need to stop whatever you're doing. You need to pull over. You need to do whatever you need to do. Just stop. And right now, confess your sins. Confess the fact that you're a sinner to God. Confess to Him that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the Lord Jesus. And ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and be your Savior right now. Call on Him before it's tragically and eternally too late. Father, we thank You tonight. Lord, we're insufficient for these things. But oh, how we rejoice in them. And Father, all of us can use a little tweaking. All of us, my Father, can step up a little bit. All of us, Lord, can be fine-tuned. And I pray You'd help us tonight and then help us tomorrow when we get up in the morning and help us tomorrow night when we go to bed. Just help us, Lord. I pray You'd bless as we have the invitation that You might glorify Yourself. You might help Your people. And if there's anyone that needs to be saved, have them come forward. Anybody watching or listening, give them the grace right now, my Father, and the courage to stop and trust Christ the Savior. We give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn tonight, 478. I'll go where You want me to go. Really? How about if He wanted you to come forward, would you do it? If He wants you to pray and talk to Him right now, before you leave, before it gets cold, before you forget, would you do it? What if He wants you to go visit your neighbor, tell him about Christ? What if He wants you to talk to that person at work or that person at school? Are you willing to really go where He wants you to go? What if He's calling you to the mission field? I don't know what He wants you to do, but will you do it? We're going to sing on the first.